In the last presentation, we discussed a single mutual fund, and there are some links on the class website for some of the characteristics of that one mutual fund. And the reason I chose that one, one of the reasons, not only because it's one of the nation's oldest and largest and most successful, it also has a long history. And we also discussed hypothetical illustrations that mutual fund companies, brokers, and the like are able to offer you to show you how well you had done in the past. Is it a guarantee of what's going to happen in the future? No. And it has that all throughout the hypothetical illustrations. But it shows you what is possible, folks. And so on the class website, what we're looking at is the section where the hypothetical illustrations. Now, I created four. I can create as many as you want. You want to contact me? I can do as many as you want, but in the face-to-face class, we do these together, but it's just kind of difficult in online. So what I've done is created four, and if you know, which cover some various scenarios, and if you have any others you'd like to add, please contact me. So you're going to click on $100 per month for 30 years, $100 per month for 40 years, $100 per month for 40 years, increase $10 by each year, and $500 per month for 20 years. I have already queued them up, so to speak. I've already gotten them all ready because it takes a little bit of time and finagling to get them looking good. So they're already here. $100 a month for 30 years. Think about it, you millennials. Can you pull that off, right? You're in your early 20s, maybe a little later, or even your early 30s. $100 a month for 30 years. Well, here's the illustration for $100 a month for 30 years. And it goes up to December 31st, 2012. And so here's all the important disclosures. Be afraid, be very afraid. Figures shown are past results and are not predictive of results in future periods. Current and future results may be lower or higher than those shown. Share prices and returns will vary, so investors may lose money. Investing for short periods makes losses more likely. I'm glad the Securities and Exchange Commission and FINRA has told the mutual funds and the brokers to include that, because that's very, very good wisdom there. If you have a short-term horizon, your losses are more likely. If you have a long-term horizon, you can still lose money over the long term, but it's not likely as long as you're prudent and don't get greedy and stay consistent. Notice that it says that investments are not insured by the FDIC or any bank or any other entity. You may lose money. So that's standard language in prospectuses and in illustrations and hypotheticals. Does anybody read them? No, but you're going to read them now. So let's continue down. So what we're going to do, folks, is we're going to go back 30 years. And so when does this start? I can't see it anyway. Where are we? Let's keep going. Sorry, I'm moving. Okay, this started in 1983, right, 30 years ago, January 1st. And it may be a little difficult for you to read it on the presentation that you're looking at. So, you go and take a look at them, click on them, and then you can magnify them. But we started putting in $1,200 a year, $100 a month, and we did that for 30 years. And we see that our account value was growing, and it kind of grew pretty well for a while, and then there was a couple years where it burst forth in the late 90s. And then in 2000, we had 100 grand. Not bad, right? And 2 years later, right? Yeah. It was 2000 to 2002, it was three rough years. But then in 2003, we're back on track. We're back moving up until 2007 when we hit a peak of $161,977, only to see it drop to $106,600 the next year. 2008, was a very difficult year. And did you run? Did you hide? Did you say, I'll never put another dime in that malignant casino again? Well, look what happened. By 2012, it took a few years, but and you've consistently put money back into the investment, you have turned your $36,000 of investments over 30 years into $176,467 at an annual average annual rate of return of a little over 9%. You understand? Yeah. Consistency is a very good trait for investors. And let's take a look at the graph, and it kind of shows it in you know, we're consistently going up, and then 2000 to 2002, and then we're back up again, and then wham, we got hammered by 2008. But folks, let's go back. Is 180 grand, is that enough to, no. But remember, you're starting early, you millennials. You have more than 30 years of $100 a month. Let's now take a look at another illustration, which is essentially the same, but we just extend our time horizon another 10 years. So here, let's scroll down together and see all the scary stuff telling us to be very afraid, and we're going to be putting in $100 a month for 30 years. So we started way back in 1973, and they didn't even, did they even have, yes, the mutual funds and computers and no CDs, not yet, and certainly no smartphones. Anyway, look at that. Look at the late 90s. Oh boy, were you excited, and at 2000 you hit 473,000, and oh my goodness, and by 2002 it had gone down to 388. Honey, we lost about 90,000. No, relax, because by 2003 we're now almost up to 500 grand, right? And then we hit our peak in 2008 at 715,000, only to see it drop to 467. Heart attack, ulcers, did you drop? Did you stop making investments? Did you pull all your money out and put it in gold? I sure hope not, because look, by the end of 2012, it's taken us a few years, but now you're up to $754,000, $750,000. How much did you put in? 48 grand over those 40 years. What some people spend on a car, which lasts, you know, 5, 6, maybe 10 years. And you received an annual average return of 11%. So $750,000, not bad, 48,000. If you did the, you didn't have to do them, but if you did the future value handouts on chapter one, this is compound growth. These are the kind of results that we can reasonably expect from a well-run, prudent stock investment. Such, and this is not the only one, folks. And the graph is going to show basically the same thing. It's going to show, I don't like when Adobe Acrobat does that, but it's free, so I can't complain. It's going to show pretty substantial growth, and then in the late 90s, oh boy, and then 2002, and then 2007, and 8. Not bad. So, would you be happy with $750,000? But could you do a little bit better? You can do a whole lot better. And you don't have to double your, you could if you put $200 a month away, of course it would be double, right? But let's, not quite, but it would, it'd be a lot more. But let's just take a look at another illustration. What is this one? This is $100 a month for 40 years, but the first year you put in $100 a month. The second year you say, I'm going to increase my contribution by $10. So the second year you do $110 a month. In other words, two fewer trips to $5. I'm sorry, Sporbucks. Starbucks! Two fewer trips to Starbucks every month. And then the next year you go up to 120 and then 130. Can you pull that off? Well, for many of you, your income's going to be rising, debt's going to be going down, pay off those darn student loans. And yes, you can do this. So what's it going to look like? Well, we got the scary stuff here, and we're going to go back 40 years, and starting in 1973. But notice that instead of $1,200 every year, we're increasing it a little bit every year. And we see our, whoops, stop that. I don't like it when you do that. When you keep going, we see our, oops, where did it go? Go back to 1999. It's late 90s. We see our amount just doing really well. And we hit a peak of $758,000 in 2000, only to see it drop those 2001, 2002, to 627. But then we held on, and now look at it. In 2007, it hit $1.175 million and dropped to 770 in 2008. Did you run? Did you hide? What did you do? Did you keep putting your money in? Because at the end of 2012, you've put in $141,210. And I know it sounds like a lot of money, but folks, you're going to spend a whole lot more money than that on cars throughout your career. And you have $1.26 million with an average annual return of 10.7%. Not bad. Not bad. That's for you millennials that have what? Exactly. Time. What about the baby boomers? Whoa, boy, they don't like it when I do this presentation. They come up to me afterwards. Why don't you tell me this 25 years ago? This is another illustration. And this is for people who don't have 40 years. This is for people who only have, say, 20 years till retirement. They have to put away far more. Let's say they put away $500 a month. So this is $500 a month for 20 years. So let's scroll down together. There's the scary part. And we see that we go back 20 years to January 1st, 1993. And we're doing pretty well. 2000, the 1999s were great. We got hit by the 2000 to 2002, but we're putting in $500 a month, so the downward stroke doesn't look so bad because we're putting in a lot of money every year. And we hit a peak, 2007 of 193, only to have it fall. $760-some thousand. But we've come back, and we're at $238,000. Look, we put in $120,000, but because we don't have the time, folks, and also the years between 2000 and 2010 and 11 were not the best, the worst decade since the Great Depression. Yep. And so this is what baby boomers are looking. Maybe they'll do better if you're starting now with $500, if you can maybe get 9%, but still, what's the key? Time. Start early, consistent, intelligent, prudent investing. Sure, take 5% of your portfolio and try to strike it rich. Good luck, all I can say, but these kind of mutual funds, large company growth and income are what Benjamin Graham would recommend along the lines of what Warren Buffett's teacher. And there's another handout called the top 75 holdings, which I want you to take a look at all of them, obviously, the benefit of time. And they're not all up there yet, but they will be. Some of the data is slow in coming. But is this an eye opening? I hope so. If you have time, you don't need a whole lot of money. You need to be consistent. You need to be prudent. You need to not get too cocky or greedy. And don't panic when 2000 to 2002 or 2008 come along. keep putting that money in, and if it does all fall down, and there's no food at the Vons, and there's no gas at the Chevron station, and there's no clothes at the Gap, and the cell phones aren't working, and the trash isn't being picked up, and the schools, and the hospitals, and the banks, and the fire departments, and the police departments are all shuttered, it doesn't matter where you have your money. Yeah, I know, buy gold. Wrong. Where are you going to put the gold plus what you're going to buy? If you really do believe that the world is going to fall apart, technologically based civilization will crack and fall to the ground, then get yourself down to the southern hemisphere and learn to raise goats and food and chickens. But I hope that this has shown you that you can do it, folks, if you have a long-term time horizon and you are prudent and willing to take prudent, I love that word, prudent risks. Okay, see ya.